Welcome to I'm Screaming, a podcast for anyone who's ever felt like shamelessly screaming at the top of their lungs over a moment in pop culture.
Because sometimes pop culture can be scary and you just gotta let it out. Let's scream about it together.
Hello, Megan.
Hi, Giselle.
How are you since I last saw you less than 12 hours ago?
I'm well. I feel like there's been a lot going on today.
Yeah,
lots
definitely.
Celeb news. Just yes. Like, it's a beautiful day outside. I like want to be outside, but I'm also like have to work, obviously.
Right, same.
And yeah, but we did see each other very recently. Thank yes. God. And that's because, yes, you guessed it, listeners. We have another concert to tell you about.
We do.
And that's why we recorded on Wednesday again.
Amazing.
It was, we went to see the Sisters Haim last night.
Haim, we did see the Sisters Haim.
At Madison Square Garden. Yes. And boy, what a show. Like, what yeah. a show. What a performance. Just absolutely, like...
Amazing. Yeah, the Haim, before we get into the Sisters Haim, there were two openers, Faye Webster, which sadly, sorry, Faye, we did miss you.
We missed you, sorry.
But we did not miss the absolute icon,
oh my God.
The moment, Princess Nokia, if you don't know her name.
Princess Nokia, an absolute... ball of energy.
Did you expect that, Meg?
Not at all. Not in my wildest dreams. She was so energetic. She yeah. was so funny.
She was hilarious.
Like
she
at
was
one
stunning.
Point, she was just like stunning. The moves, the dancers, the little comments, like "What's up, Madison Square Garden? How you doing? How are the gays?"
Yeah, literally. She
good.
Knows.
That's all that matters.
She knows that to be successful and famous, you must knows. Align yourself with the gays.
And just katana, 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 katana.
No,
katana,
I mean,
katana, katana.
It was lit because I went. First of all of us know more Princess Nokia songs than we think we know. Number
right.
one.
Well,
number one.
We sat down and Vera rule. And I were like, we don't know any. We don't know any. Princess Nokia songs, and Giselle was like, I know one.
Right.
Tomboy.
Which right.
she did play, which I also kind of knew. And then I knew Katana.
Yes, and she started off with Sugar Honey Iced Tea, which is a song that I actually do know.
Yes. And then there were more songs as she went on that I was like, oh, I know this. Like, I
right.
know this.
She played Sugar Honey Iced Tea, then she played Tomboy, which was a moment mm-hmm. for me. And then she played Katana. And then at that point, I was like, okay, well, I feel like she just played her three most popular songs first. But no, yeah. everyone. The thing that I forget is that people get famous on TikTok.
Yes.
And so Princess Nokia has like three TikTok famous
the
songs.
I like him song. I yeah. like him. Like me too.
Yes.
He man. He my boo. Yep.
And she has another.
Is it, what is it, No Effort or something? Is that what it's called?
That's the new one, which I actually put on my playlist. I put it
on my playlist,
but
too.
There's, like, really another one that's TikTok famous. I forget right now. But, yeah, Princess Nokia, like, really put on a show. She was, like, gushing over the Haim sisters. She was like,
oh my
I
God.
Love them.
With them.
This is a dream. She was so cute. And I think the theme about this night, obviously, we didn't see Faye Webster, but, like, a theme of this night, which I loved, was just, like, girlies being so appreciative of the moment that they were given. And I was
it
just,
was...
like...
I mean,
loved
Giselle
it.
And I did cry. Like,
yeah.
You and I both cried.
And it made me so happy.
When Haim cried, we cried.
Yeah, and Princess Nokia was, like, calling out her cousin and her aunt and her sister, and she, like, grew up in New York, so she was just like, this is such a moment. I'm playing Madison Square Garden, and I was like, yes, girl, I love this for you. Also, I think it says something when you can be, like, Madison Square Garden is a big place, and I think this is a conversation for another time, but people don't know how to utilize it very well, I think, but...
Yes.
Princess Nokia, I thought she commanded that stage very well for being...
Absolutely. For an opener?
Yeah, an opener.
Absolutely, like, the crowd was in it, I
right.
felt. 100%. And, like, good for her.
And she had and the cameras, with, which were great. As we all yeah. remember, Muna was disrespected at Madison Square Garden.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I wonder if Faye got the cameras.
Right. Because I guess
since
King
Muna
Princess
was the
did.
First opener, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Princess Nokia was great. Congrats to her. More success to you, Princess Nokia. You're funny and cute and smart. Go ahead. Go off.
Yeah.
Okay, the sisters Haim. I think all of us use this adjective. Like, it was such a euphoric experience. Like, euphoric, I did not... Euphoric,
transcendent, all of the, yeah. like...
Yeah. I did not know it was going to be this way. And my journey with Haim is as such. I didn't really like them. I wasn't into them during their first album. I had a friend in college who, like, loved them and would always be like, oh, like, you should listen to Haim. And I was like, not for me. And right. then I moved to New York in 2017, and mm-hmm. Want You Back came out, and it, like, changed me. It, like, it truly, like, makes me think of that time in my life. So then I was like, okay, wait, I love them, and I love this album.
Yeah.
So I became obsessed with the second album. And then Women in Music Part 3 came out, and I was very excited for it. But at the time when it came out, I wasn't really into it. I was like, right. oh, I don't know if this is for me. But then, of course, like, which I do with a lot of albums, if I don't like them off first listen, I return to them. And I returned yeah. to Women in Music Part 3 like a year and a half ago, and became obsessed, like, saw the light. And then I was telling Megan Vera, I was like, it's insane to me that, like, I've listened to that album so much over the last year, so, like, passively, that mm-hmm. I just know every word at this point. Like,
oh,
I,
yeah.
It was there's wild.
Those kind of songs, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, there are songs that just, like, by osmosis, like, by hearing them so many times, like, obviously that happens with a lot of music, but, like,
yeah.
they're just, like, easy songs to just, like, have in your brain.
And right.
you don't even realize that they're there. Yeah, I mean, they're just so, they came out, again, the energy, like, the energy yeah. of these girlies
was, I mean,
absolutely unmatched. And as we said last night, Kacey Musgraves, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh my God.
Ashamed.
Absolutely ashamed. Absolutely ashamed.
Absolutely shameful.
Like, it was infectious, their energy. They were so hyped to be there. I mean, truly, they, like, the talent of those three girls, like,
yeah,
insane.
Especially, I will say, like, and I was aware that, like, Danielle is kind of the front man,
yeah,
in a way, but I had no clue, I think, how much until last night,
yeah,
how, like, she is just far and away the center of epicenter of that band,
yeah, definitely.
And, like, obviously, I think Alana and Esty bring the charisma a little bit.
Oh my God.
Bring the energy, bring
Esty bringing everything last night.
All the personality. And obviously, you know, Alana Haim, you know, is like a movie star now, so makes sense. But Danielle Fully is just, like, so talented.
Yeah.
So good. And yeah, it was like a nonstop kind of concert too.
Yeah.
Which is, like, what we love. Like, Dua was like that, and, like,
right.
just, like, never letting us breathe, never giving us a second to, like,
yeah.
but, like, also going into just, like, song after song, like, as you said, that we knew off by heart and could just, like, scream the words to. So it was just such a cathartic concert and cathartic experience, and, like,
yeah,
the best show I've seen since Harry, for sure.
Definitely. And I think this is, like, it, we were saying, like, since Harry, I think since Muna, like, there's something to be said, especially about when you're playing MSG, like, when you can connect with your audience like that.
Right.
Like, those shows are just so much more fun, because it's, like, even though Dua was amazing, like, it's very choreographed and rehearsed. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
she is giving you one and two and three. And, like, with Kacey Musgraves, she didn't speak to us, like, once. So it was really cool to, like, have, they did, like, a bit, like, an Esty bit of, like, being finally
yeah,
single,
like,
into
3 a.m. Yeah.
They had, like, the little drums. They were talking to us about their stories.
Oh, my God. The drums and, like, were so fun. I loved
Yeah. They
the
had
drums.
A choreo moment, which was hilarious.
Oh, my God. The arms spinning. The
yeah.
elbows. It was all about the elbows.
Yes.
The hinge of the elbow.
it's they really, you know, I don't like to, not that I don't like to, but I think, you know, we give a lot of credit to, you know, small white women for a lot of things that they don't deserve, but these three ladies deserved my energy,
oh,
attention, and hype, and I really believe that. Like, I do think a lot of times in pop music, especially, like, a lot of these girlies get on the stage and, like, kind of give you half of nothing, and, like, we were like, yes, and we forgive yeah. them, but it was refreshing to,
I mean, you
see,
and I did that on this podcast with Kacey Musgraves a couple
literally
months ago.
Kacey Musgraves,
we commented on, like,
gave
go
us
girl,
nothing,
we said go girl give us nothing then, but we also were like, but we love you, Kacey, but also, like, no,
right,
absolutely not. Can she can never go on a tour like that again. If you're not gonna do that, don't play Madison Square Garden.
That's what I'm,
like,
saying,
do,
like,
not play Madison Square Garden. Do not bother.
Right.
We don't want you there at Madison
and
Square.
You know, I feel this way. I forget if you saw Did you see the thank you next to her?
I did not. Because I heard the reviews.
And I saw Ari at Madison Square Garden years ago. And I love her. And Ari, the vocals are on point. But, like, Ariana also gave nothing. So, like, right. I do think it was just, like, nice to see a group of a girl group.
Right.
Like, give everything, be so in the moment, so happy to be there. They were like, this is the best night of our lives. Like, it felt that. And, like, the whole entire audience, like, and another thing that I felt was really interesting is, like, not a lot of recording being done, actually. Like, I noticed, like, we, like, got a couple of clips, but I felt like we were also really in the moment.
No,
but
we really
even
weren't.
The whole entire audience, like, I genuinely felt like I noticed it. Like, I didn't see a lot of screens
like,
recording.
We could see the whole, like, pit and floor, basically, from where we were sitting, because we were kind of, like, dead center right behind it. And I actually thought, I realized that too, Giselle, and I'm so glad you pointed it out, because I was like, damn, I was like, I can see a few phones, but, like, really not that many.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. Like, people really were present.
And I maybe think we've been to a lot of concerts this year, and I think, like, audience really does make a difference. Like, the age of the audience, who's you're gathering there, like,
right.
Obviously Haim has some, like, Gen Zers or, like, younger, but it definitely was, like, there were, like, the gays, like, typically, like, people we see, but, like, the girlies were really out. Like, our age older. Like, I'd say, like, a 20...
The leather pants.
26 to, like, 35 audience was, like, really at this concert, and I felt like that showed in the way that
100%.
It was.
100%. Also,
and I appreciated it.
Just a quick comment on something we were saying last night, too, is that, like, I guess maybe this is just not an us thing. Maybe we're just not... But, like, lots of people, like, buying their merch and then putting it on in the moment.
We did notice that. Maybe, and I feel like that's a thing of the pop punk era.
At other concerts that we've been to recently, like, we put it in our bags and then, like, wear it to bed.
Yeah, literally, me, like, in my Allie and AJ merch currently that I slept in. But, yeah, that was very interesting. We were like, wait, is this, like, are we returning to, like, the One Direction pop punk days where we all were, like, so obsessed and had them sign our shirts? Or... also, we saw Tommy Dorfman.
We did. We do have to point out.
That was wild.
I mean, genuinely for me, I just need to say that it's been a great week for me in celebrity sightings.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Not as famous as Tommy, I don't think, but I've seen two cast members from Summer House since Saturday.
I know, it's crazy that you saw them
for
both
the listeners
this week.
who do watch Summer House. I did see Andrea and Lexi and his new girlfriend Lexi on the subway on Saturday, looking chiseled, looking
like chiseled,
like the Italian model that he is. And then yesterday I was in Zara and I saw Sierra, so
wild,
again looking like a freaking model, like stunning. But and then we saw Tommy Dorfman, like Giselle and I truly just sitting there, me eating my hot dog,
and I was like, Meg, there's Tommy Dorfman, and she didn't hear me, and I was like, she's behind you. and then Vera was in the bathroom, so we had to, like, kind of follow her, but, like, truly Tommy giving us, like,
just strutting past us.
Giving
us Dorothy a bit.
Right. Giving us, like, a very... I don't want to call Tommy Dorfman's outfit basic, because, like, Tommy Dorfman does wear very elaborate... I mean, she was literally just at the Met Gala, so we've seen Tommy Dorfman in, like, elaborate outfits. But Tommy Dorfman truly gave me, like, Forever 21 gingham blue plaid dress and, like, combat boot, which, like, is actually kind of iconic also.
Yeah.
But she definitely was giving Boots the House Down. I was like, Tommy Dorfman, go off, be at the Haim concert, obsessed with this. I saw she tagged Esty, so maybe her and Esty are good friends. But I was like, yes, obsessed with Tommy Dorfman just, like, walking in the wild, like, truly.
No,
in
it
the
was
wild.
It was
she's
so
like
shocking.
Famous. I'm like, are we the only ones that know that she's, like, really famous, or did people not watch 13 Reasons
we
Why?
We did hear someone as we kind of started following her. Sorry, Tommy, if you listen. but we
Tommy,
just wanted to
listener.
Make sure Vera saw your face, and we didn't draw any attention to you, I promise.
No, we were just
But we did hear
following.
One girl be like, oh my God, is that Tommy Dorfman?
Yeah, we're like, yeah, it is, girl.
But, I mean, definitely, like, so many more celebs at Haim than we probably even, like, heard of or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Dylan O'Brien was there.
Oh, yes.
And was being swarmed by fangirls, apparently. Leave
of
Dylan
course.
Alone. Let him live his life.
Free Dylan.
Let him live his hot life, like, literally, because he is...
Truly,
I
was
he's
like...
He's about to have a hot boy summer, I think.
I literally looked at Meg, and I was like, of course Dylan O'Brien, written by a woman, is here. Literally behind concert. By like, of course he's here. Of course he's with the girlies. Like, duh.
But, duh. Yeah, it just seems like Haim is, like, that the all three of them are very well-liked.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, other celebs. So I guess that says a lot about them, too. But yeah, I mean, just so good. If you're not a Haim listener, you definitely should try. Like, their music is amazing for summer. Summer Girl Amber Mark remix.
Come on.
Literally the only song that ever existed that matters. It's so good. And, yeah, I'm going to be listening to Haim for the rest of the week for sure.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, too. But that's our concert recap. We have one more for you for the foreseeable future. We have a lot more concerts this year, but in our May roundup, we have Vincent next week, everyone. Mm-hmm. So do prepare yourself for the
absolute chaos that's going to be. What end of the spectrum will it be on? Will it be more chaotic or less chaotic than Ali and AJ? It will certainly be less chaotic than Haim.
I think it's going to be...
I mean, more chaotic than Haim. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I do feel like it's going to be the same... I mean, I think it's going to be, like, a crowd that we would have seen at, like, the Ali and AJ crowd, but more of that. Like, but also, yes. I feel like at Vincent, I'm like, yes, we're here to, like, jam and, like...
It's kind of the point.
Right. We are, like, living our best queer lives.
It's the vibe that we're searching for.
Come on, give me everything. So I'm very excited about that. That'll
yes, I can't wait.
Speaking of living our queer lives, not our queer lives, but...
Oh, my God. Well,
someone's queer life.
Will soon be living their most authentic queer lives, and we're excited for them.
Hopefully. I mean, Meg, I have a question. Like,
yes.
I know that... We're sorry, everyone. We're talking about Hayley Kiyoko and Becca Tilly, of course. And the thing I have to ask is, like... Are we all 100% sure Becca Tilly's a lesbian? Like, yes. I'm like, wait.
Yes.
Okay, absolutely. We are sure. Because everyone is, like, very much saying it. So I'm like,
she's
okay.
Absolutely with Hayley Kiyoko, has been with Hayley Kiyoko
okay,
for, like,
that's
4 years
at this
point. Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So also, like, we were saying, Truly has, like, I think two of her sisters are also, like, either bi or lesbian.
Right, bi or
like,
lesbian.
In a relationship
queer
with women.
Something.
But... Yes, so Becca Tilly of The Bachelor first appeared on Chris Soule's season of The Bachelor, Farmer
Which is
Chris.
Insane.
Insane. Got second place, basically, like, didn't love him back. Otherwise, Chris, like, definitely would have picked her. He was, like, obsessed with her the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, she is beautiful. Then popped back up and came back up again. Came back on Ben Higgins' season of The Bachelor. Became best friends with JoJo.
Right.
Who, congrats to her and Jordan. They got married.
Oh, finally.
Finally.
Wow.
They got married on Saturday. And Becca was in the wedding. Like, they are, like, best friends, like, have been best friends since, I actually find them, like, pretty endearing. Becca Tilly has since, like, made a name for herself. She has, like, a Grey's Anatomy podcast. She's,
okay.
like,
yes,
but
girl.
She's always, like, because she was on, like, two seasons and whatever, she's been around with Bachelor Nation for a while. Then a couple of years ago... She was, like, always hanging out with Hayley Kiyoko, like, had this crew of friends with her, and then basically these, like, rumors started that they were together, that they were dating, that they, like, lived together. Then they've been on, like, romantic vacations, just the two of them. Like,
right.
But they don't post each other in the videos. Becca refers to her partner on her podcast. But
she does.
Never uses, like... pronouns.
Oh, I didn't know that she actually referred to a partner.
She has apparently referred
okay.
to it. I don't listen, but this is what I've gleaned from, like, Zachary Reality, our
nemesis,
but also, like,
we have a lot of those on TikTok.
He does give good, like, info, so I also still engage with his stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, other people who have like talked about this. And basically it was just, like, she's not ready to come out, like, she's, you know, because obviously Hayley Kiyoko is openly, you know, queer.
Right.
And...
Very much, like, her brand.
Yes,
is,
her
is
brand
being a
is
lesbian.
Queerness, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
That is literally the brand, so, like...
and so, basically, Hayley Kiyoko has a song coming out this Friday, May 20th. It is called...
Isn't everything coming out on May 20th?
I mean... We're about to be fed. Love to be fed, as we love to
love
say.
Love to be fed.
And she has an album coming out, Panorama. 8 minutes ago she tweeted this, so this is breaking news, everyone.
Breaking news.
Panorama, July 29th, my sophomore album, Everywhere. Wait, Now I'm confused.
She's performing it at Panorama?
Oh my God, is Panorama back, Giselle?
Do we have to go? Because it really marks an important... I mean,
it's literally where we, like, solidified our
part friendship. Part of our friendship, yeah. Why did Panorama go away?
Oh, no, sorry. Okay, you can pre-order and pre-save her sophomore album, Panorama. Oh,
okay, got it.
On Friday. It comes out July 29th.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Panorama is unfortunately dead forever. But
damn, I'm glad we got to experience
it. The pandemic killed it. But what's the song? Damn it.
The song is called... I don't know. She's not doing a great job of promoting it because... It's, where the fuck is the name? For the Girls!
For the Girls. And yeah, I've heard a clip of it on TikTok.
Becca comments, like, she's gorge.
For the girls that like girls, for the girls that like boys. Basically, she's teasing a Bachelor-themed music video for her new song, For the Girls, right?
Right.
And there's, like, photos. I do think it's, like, a lot of her friend, Haley's friends that are in it, like, yeah, playing these girls. And there's, like, headshots of all of these, like, and, like, descriptions of all of these, like, different, like Kimber, they, she, won't quit horsing around, Nashville, Tennessee. Like, she's been revealing new contestants each week. Basically, there's also hidden contestants with, like, question marks. But everyone's convinced Becca's going to be one of those, right?
Yeah.
Also, Dumois posted a tip about this, not to
right.
We haven't actually talked about Dumois in a while, but posted that a reality star is finally ready to reveal their relationship in a really unique way.
I mean,
so
if it doesn't happen,
we're spreading fake news, I guess. But
also,
Becca is dating Hayley Kiyoko. Like, I would stake my life on it, 100%. There's no way she isn't. So. Even if she doesn't officially come out. But also, like, Hayley Kiyoko posted on Instagram and was like, are you ready? And Becca commented, we're ready. It's just all very, like, on the nose, but...
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, if they're doing all this and then it doesn't happen, which, like, whatever, everyone can come out or choose to not come out at their own pace and or time, whatever.
Yeah.
But for the sake of popular culture and what we talk about on this podcast, I feel as though I'm anticipating it.
Ooh,
now.
Wait. Also, the music video comes out tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Oh, 9 o'clock Pacific time. Fuck. So, actually, it is Friday. Yeah. Becca Tilly commented, we are ready. G Flip commented, so hectically ready.
Not G Flip.
Dove Cameron commented, no way.
Hayley Kiyoko
responded, yes way. Colton Underwood commented, yes.
Colton, go away!
Just go plan your wedding to that man.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah. The Bachelor to Queer pipeline is heavily increasing, which, I mean, go off. I love it. But I would like it to happen. I feel like it'd be great. I'm excited for Becca Tilly. I'm honestly, like, this news excites me. I feel like they're a cute couple from... In theory, so I would love for this to be a reality. Also, revealing your relationship through something as on the nose and chuggy as a Bachelor themed music video is really iconic to me. So
no, it's really iconic. Like, I think it's...
That's why if it doesn't happen, I'm gonna be like, so we did this for what? You know?
No, like all the teasing and like the rumors and whatever. I think it's gonna happen though.
I hope so. Why is someone...
We love speculating.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this episode really just has a bit of a theme.
Okay, we love a theme.
Because in more queer news, we talk about Doctor Who.
Genuinely, I am so close. So I was telling you before the podcast, but I'll say it again for the benefit of the listeners, that I am have finally broken the barrier that I feel like so many people... experience when they start sex education on Netflix.
Including
and
myself.
I have finished season one and I am on episode two of season two and I'm really, really liking it. And, you know, all the things that people say about it are so true and whatever. But I'm getting dangerously close to when I do finish sex education, which can't be, you know, more than
that
a week away.
Off,
more than a week away at this point. That I will start Doctor Who again because Russell T. motherfucking Davies.
Come on, Russell!
What? Russell is like our Kevin is our president, and Russell T. Davies is our vice president right now.
We love him.
Like, literally, this man, first of all, like, is responsible for so much wonderful content.
Yes.
Including It's a Sin, which I've not yet to watch, but you and Vera have nothing but good things to say about.
It was amazing. I sobbed.
And also is responsible for the revival of, or, you know, was the man behind the revival of Doctor Who back in 2005 or whatever. Is back at the helm, as we said last week.
He is.
And he is just killing it.
I know. I said this to Meg like five times because I just am obsessed
No, I love
it.
It's an amazing line, so you better repeat it for the people.
I mean, this is all coming because we know that Doctor Who, the new person who's going to play the Doctor, is going to be, remind me of his name, but he's gay.
Shudi,
he's a black
Shudi
gay man.
Shudi Gatwa.
And also was announced that we have another new cast member by the name of, if you have that also on hand.
Oh, I don't.
If not, it's fine. But the whole thing is that this person was in the show Heartstopper, and trans woman, which is iconic.
And her name is Yasmin Finney.
Yes, Yasmin Finney.
And Giselle's gonna watch Heartstopper, and should all of the listeners. And well, we didn't talk about this last week either because it wasn't news, but they're bringing back David Tennant and Catherine Tate,
which is iconic.
Like, so iconic, like the most dynamic duo that ever existed.
Agreed. And Russell T. Davies is just giving us everything we need.
Yeah, the reason that they announced all of this, because usually they keep this stuff secret, but they're filming in London, so there's set photos of, like, David Tennant and Catherine Tate, and the grandpa, remember, Wilfred, Bernard Cribbins, and the tea is, apparently, they think that, well, like, Yasmin Finney is playing this version of Rose Tyler.
Right.
And the tea is that she might be Donna's daughter.
Which is
iconic.
Just Russell T. Davies said, if I will return to Doctor Who, I'm making it gay, bitch.
Yes!
And I love it. And I love it.
And I mean, I'm just so excited. Like,
oh my God, I'm so excited.
Next year is the 60th anniversary.
Yes.
And the 50th was so special. I mean, mm-hmm. I think did you see the 50th in theaters?
Yeah.
Me too. Just so fun, and will be such a celebration. I think there's going to be, like, a series of specials or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, like, probably culminating then in, like, Shooty's, like, becoming the Doctor.
Right.
But, boy, am I excited. Boy,
I
cannot wait. I also hope that, like, in rewatching it when it happens, I'm kind of excited to maybe discover this, like, new doc, this female Doctor, Jodie Whittaker.
Right.
And, like, find stuff to love about it, because you always, like, it's always hard when, and that's, like, this show has been going this way for so long, and kind of, like, getting really stale and not feeling fresh and, like, feeling, like, forced, almost, like, forced in terms of its, like, trying to be, you know, diverse and different, and so with the knowledge that all of this fun stuff is coming, it might make it, you know, more fun to watch, like, both Peter Capaldi and Jodie Whittaker. So,
I definitely
just
agree.
So excited.
I feel like it's so nice to have it, like, breathes life into this thing that I loved so much. Like, I was so obsessed the summer and the year I binged it, and I was, like, so in it. And then, like, it meant so much to me. And, like, seeing it, like, falling off of it is, like, my own fault. But also, like you said, like, it just got a bit stale, and, like, the magic had lost itself a bit. So, like, I do hope, like, as we said, bringing Russell back, inviting these new characters and just shaking it up a bit, that we do get to, like, see a new life and a new leg of this show that, like, means so much to so many people.
Right.
I think it deserves that. Doctor Who is so fun. If you haven't ever seen it, like, it's, I recommend it. Obviously, it was made a long time ago, so, like, the CGI on the Daleks and all the stuff.
It's camp.
the season before David Tennant.
Chris Eccleston's season is
that season
pure
is absolutely
camp.
You have
pure
to get
camp.
Through that, which is the, it's not hard to get through.
The
but
episode,
like,
Giselle, where they're, like, stuck in the Parliament building and they're, like, they unzip the bodies and it's like the monsters within.
No, it's camp, but it's also fun. Camp is fun. We all know camp is cool. So, like, if you are in need of a show, you want something you can, like, really binge and, like, become enveloped in a world, I really recommend rewatching or watching for the first time Doctor Who. Enjoy the camp. It's lit. We are very excited. Russell T. Davies, Meg declared our vice president.
Yeah.
We will stand with you.
And also, I mean, something that I've seen on Twitter, which is so funny, and it's such a good point. Like, people are so excited because the set photos of David Tennant, like, his hair is all spiky. And, like, they made it so flat in the 50th
when he
came back, and it just didn't feel the same. So I'm so excited. I'm sure Matt Smith will be back. I'm sure they'll all be back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just, like, super exciting. But yeah, I'm feeling, like, so happy to be back in my Doctor Who era. They're really, like, the Catherine Tate, David Tennant announcement followed by them, like, Yasmin Finney, I was like,
yes.
They are dragging me back by the throat.
Literally, they
Russell
said, you
Davies
will return,
grabbed me
bitch.
By the throat, and he said, you will watch Doctor Who again.
Exactly, and I'm here. I'm ready. I'm following so blindly. I'm excited.
It's so fun.
But, yeah, that was exciting in our world. Another thing that was announced, unveiled, shown to us that's exciting in our world is the She-Hulk trailer.
The She-Hulk trailer, like, truly just such a random Tuesday afternoon drop by Kevin. First, like, a promo photo for Echo.
Right.
Which we're really excited about because I loved that in Hawkeye. And then all of a sudden, just, like, we're sitting at drinks last night before Haim, and I'm like, so they just dropped the She-Hulk trailer.
Which is, like, chaos,
wild,
but also great.
And it's coming August 17th, I believe.
Yes.
It's going to start. So I guess that'll probably be the next one after Ms. Marvel. So we're going to do Ms. Marvel in June. Then we're going to have Thor. And then
we're going to have
She-Hulk. So lots to come, as always. As we always say, we're constantly being fed.
Yes, never starving here.
Never starving.
As a Marvel fan.
Never.
I'm feeling excited. We got some Bruce. Another check.
I love it, and, like, I'm excited about it. It's so funny because, like, it's giving girl boss. It's giving, like,
yeah.
It's giving,
what is it,
like,
called? Like, the She-Hulk attorney of law or
She-Hulk,
something?
It's giving the yassification of She-Hulk. Like,
yeah, literally.
Literally, like, the poster of, like, just her leg, like, taking a step up the stairs of, like, the
Tinder dating app of it all. I'm like, what's happening?
The CGI needs some work, I think.
No,
they'll tighten it up before August, but it doesn't look great. Like, because I think Bruce looks fine.
Yeah.
I think they've tried, it's, like, a different cut. I don't know. They're, like, trying to make her look a little different, which is great, but
it needs some work.
I'm happy for Mark that he's getting a check, though. I'm happy. I mean, Renee Elise Goldsberry popped up in the trailer. She's like, just so many, like, I feel like it's going to be, like, a little quirky and fun.
Our nemesis of the pod is in it, though.
Who?
Jameela.
No.
Don't forget. She is in this show. Like, she's a friendly nemesis.
Work she's gotten since The Good Place. Like, what is going on with her?
Also,
career?
Don't forget, everyone, she is still a fucking judge on Legendary.
Oh, she
They
is,
will not
yeah.
let her. She's, like, produces it, but, like, they will not, like, get rid of her. She is, like, chaotic. I don't even know. She's not even chaotic. She's chaotic bad, but she's a friendly nemesis of the pod. She's not really doing anything, but, like, she is just a nemesis a bit. I feel like if I call someone my nemesis, it's really because I have some sort of hidden, like, well, nah, Jameela is kind of annoying. And she fights the wrong battles half the time. But she is in this show. We will ignore that. Apparently, doesn't Megan Thee Stallion have a credit in this show? Is it this
I
one?
I think so. Maybe,
which is chaos.
Yeah. And, like,
truly the yesification, as you said, of She-Hulk. Like, what?
I'm sure we're gonna get Matt Murdock. We're gonna get Daredevil in this one.
Yeah,
like, a lawyer in New York, like, or wherever she is. Like, it's just, and I do think, like, in the comics they interact a lot, so I'm sure we'll get him. And I'm sure we'll get, like, many more cameos. Like, maybe Spider-Man will pop up. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, definitely excited for them to clean it up. Excited for the show. There's just a lot of content, and I know we've said this 100 times, but I've also seen other TikTok people talking about it. Like, they're gonna have to do something soon that creates a through line between all of this. And I know that, like, but that would, like, that's the magic of Marvel, is the idea that the MCU is, like, a constant through line to something that we're looking forward to. And, like, I understand that we're, and even in the earlier movies, like, if you go back and watch them, like, there was always a point. And I just feel like we need the point unveiled soon, maybe.
Right. I do think earlier in the MCU, they got kind of lucky in terms of some of the things that aligned so well that they were able to bring back. Like, and, like, obviously, like, Guardians of the Galaxy was, like, a huge success. So then doing the Infinity Saga and doing Thanos was just, like, a no-fucking-brainer then, obviously. And that was obviously already in the works. But, like, then bringing Ant-Man into it and, like, it probably took a lot more than, like, we even realize. Yeah. And, like, the thing is, I'm fine if it's, like, I can be patient. But
I can
too. Just right now very chaotic, like, very all over the place. So it feels less like the start of something, like the way it's felt like the start of something at the beginning of the MCU, more like a, you know, it feels like a bridge, but it's like a very long bridge.
It's a long ass bridge. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I just feel like for every series, it's not that they're bad, but we do stray further and further sometimes
from
Kevin Feige's light. But I mean, he has a plan. In Kevin Feige, we trust. We believe in him. I do feel like maybe things will start to unveil themselves. I saw a TikTok person once again that we're going to get Abomination. And Shang-Chi. Remember at the end of Shang-Chi, Wong, like, opens the portal and see Abomination?
Yeah.
Thing.
So,
like,
he's in the trailer. So.
Yeah. So things are going to happen, but it's just...
I mean, which is crazy that they are... That's, like, really iconic, actually, that they are bringing back that from... the first Hulk movie that, like, everyone hates.
Yeah.
So, like, good on them for that. And love that Mark is still getting a check. Like, happy
Mark will play him till his last breath. Like, I feel like Mark loves being the Hulk. Obsessed with it.
And, and I can't wait. I mean, like, I'm just excited. It'll be fun.
Agreed.
It'll be fun.
Before we end with some music...
Yeah.
I guess we can speak about... It's not... I mean, we can speak about Conversations with Friends. Meg has finished it.
I watched it
three episodes in, which is insane to me that I still have...
Nine
episodes left.
Yeah. Like, it's too long. They shouldn't have made it 12 episodes. It suffers from a lot of things, I think. I mean, like, it's not bad. I wouldn't say it's bad. There are people who are calling it terrible. Like, it's perfectly watchable. It does get really slow in the middle. But also having read the book, like, both of us have read the book, like, we understand, like, we know that these characters are supposed to be fucking dense and socially awkward and, like, painfully socially awkward. Like,
painful.
That's kind of half the point. So that's, like, that definitely, like, saved it for me and everything. But I do think, like, it suffers because normal people, we had the two perspectives of Marianne and Connell. So we got to see, like, what Connell is up to, and then we go back to Marianne and see what she was up to, and that whole time she spent in, like, Finland, and, like, when he was, like, lonely in Dublin before he, like, reconnected with her, and blah blah blah. So I think the fact that it just, like, stays with Frances the whole time, and she's so, like, kind of annoying, to
she's
be honest.
Insufferable. She was insufferable when I read the book. She's still insufferable now.
It hurts it.
I agree.
I think it could have been interesting to explore different perspectives and do something different with the show. If you're going to do 12 episodes, 100%, do that. Give us a Bobby perspective.
Right.
Give us a Melissa perspective. Like, you're kind of wasting Jemima Kirk in a way, you know?
Literally.
Like, she's so good in it, but, like, it's... I don't think it's the acting. I just think it's the... It didn't lend itself well to a show, and, like, it just shouldn't have.
I agree. I feel like they could have given us, like, 4 to 6 episodes and just made them, like, really good and meaty, and it would have been better. 12 just feels long. I agree. Not the acting. I mean, it's just, like, it's also, like, sometimes not everything translates to screen. We all know this with Dear Evan Hansen. Shouldn't have happened. But... Yeah, these characters, like, even reading the book, like, they're not that exciting. Like, they're just living and, like, being messy and, like, being kind of insufferable and boring. Like, that's the book, right? Which lends itself better to a book than a show. So watching them on screen, it's kind of like nothing's happening. And it's you can't fault them because they're literally just doing what was in the book, but the book shouldn't have maybe been a show.
No, 100%. And it was never going to be normal people. Normal people was lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And it came out at exactly the right time.
Quarantine,
And it was special. Like, it was just, like, really special. And I'm not saying, like, I know there are people who prefer Conversations with Friends to normal people. and I didn't dislike the book at all. But yeah, it's just it's so internal, as yeah. are all of Sally Rooney's books. But like, I don't know. It will be interesting to see what they do with Beautiful World. Where Are You? Will they make? Well, I feel like they won't make it into a show now.
At I know. All.
But I mean, I'm sure people are watching it, so
it's maybe they'll do a movie. Fun. Maybe they'll change to make it a movie.
Ooh, that could be fun and interesting.
Shaking it up.
Shaking
it up. But yeah, I think that's our review.
Yeah.
Meh. I mean, it's not bad. It's just kind of meh.
Yeah.
I think. Okay, well, I guess we can round it out with some new music we've been listening to.
Yes.
Hello to Miss Florence and her album.
Florence Dance, and Her Machine.
Dance Fever is the name, right?
Yes.
I am a new Florence fan. I've like I know a lot of Florence songs, but in terms of like anticipating an album, that's kind of what I consider a fan, if you are anticipating their album. And this right. is the first time I am anticipating a Florence album and have listened to the full album many times. Mm-hmm. And I really like it. I think Miss Florence is like good at what she does. She is in her lane. She stays in that lane, and she just perfected it. And I think
she knows exactly what her vibe is. Also do think like she is like so good, and like this album is such a good example. Like she's fine-tuned her vibe so well, and like is so masterful at it. And this, I think it's just like she just keeps getting better and better, like every single time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm obsessed with the singles. Like I love King.
Yes. Heaven Is Here is a personal favorite for me.
Heaven Is Here is so good. Coromania, so fun and different. Yeah. Like Dream Girl Evil,
yes.
Same, Daffodil, just so many good ones. Like, honestly, a very strong added the whole
body of work.
Really strong, like really, really strong. And yeah, I'm loving it. It's certainly the vibe right now.
It is definitely the vibe right now. Loving Florence. For any of my humans who enjoy a bit of rap music, hip hop music, I would recommend two albums for you to listen to. The first is obvious. Kendrick released his album, his highly anticipated album. Everyone thinks this. Everyone knows this. Kendrick is just a visionary when it comes to this. He has a way of connecting to so many audiences, obviously the traditional hip-hop audience, but also just like transcending that and speaking about real themes and real things. And so many of the songs in this album are just like depicting life, what happened. There's one of my personal favorites on the album is KN95, and it's literally obviously about the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
There's a song called Auntie Diaries, which talks about his trans family members and like them coming out and that experience. There's
I feel like, did that one get a little backlash? Not a little.
I mean, he does, he uses the F slur, like he says the F slur in the song, which caught me off guard a lot. I think some people were like, the themes of the song and what he's talking about are like, it's supposed to cause shock value because that's like so much of what these people experience.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely like listened to it, and I had to, of course, like do my research to understand. Like, I was like, wait, this feels weird, but it's also Kendrick, and he always has something to say. So that was a song that has an impact, but also I was like shocked.
No, totally. I had seen so much discourse, and like I haven't listened. I listened to like N95 or KN95. I did hear that one, but I haven't listened to the whole album or like really explored it too much. But I did see discourse on Friday about that, so that's why I was like,
yeah, curious. I think my personal take is like, for me and my own, like that's not something I'm ever gonna use and or say.
Right.
I think also, you know, I think it's important in that community in terms of like hip hop to be speaking about like the trans identity and like having family members that are going through these things and how you can support them. Like that is all important. I always feel very weird about slurs being used in songs. That's just point blank my opinion, whatever. Yeah. But the speaking about it is, I think, you know, something that I can respect. I defer to other people to decide what they want to forgive. I mean, here, let's not deny. Doja Cat has said it many times, and apparently the world has forgotten it. I'm like, okay.
People really just have a short memory when it comes to Doja, huh?
And I do, you know, I guess Kendrick has said it was, like, intentional. Right. But I will leave that to everyone to decide.
I do think, like,
my own personal feelings, it won't be uttered from my mouth. But
do think he is on such a pedestal in a way,
yeah,
like in his lane and also in the music industry. So, and since this is just such a big comeback, right?
Yeah.
Not that he needed it, but like he hasn't put out music for a while. So, so it was obviously going to like stir up conversation.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knew it was going to.
Yeah. There's a song, that talks about an experience that he brought some girl up on stage, this white woman on stage. And like, she literally like on stage with Kendrick Lamar, like screams the N word in the song. And like, he was talking about in the song how that was just like, he like couldn't sleep that night because it's just like hit, like, is this what we're allowing with all, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
There's a song with Taylor Page, who's on the album also, and she has a song with him, which is like really intense. Baby Keem, like, yeah, basically all I'm saying is like, regardless of if you feel like you really fall in the hip hop genre of something you usually listen to, it's a really great album. It has a lot to say, even if you give it one listen, would recommend.
Right.
Another album.
Welcome back, Kendrick.
Literally, welcome back, Kendrick. Another album that I recommend for anyone who enjoys like Doja, Megan Thee Stallion type music. If you guys know, my favorite movie is, one of my favorite movies is Booksmart. And in Booksmart, Money was a song that was very popular. And that song is performed by LaKelli 47. And
yes, I love that song.
She dropped her album, and it is just really amazing.
Awesome.
It's really fun. It has similar energy. It has, like, dope beats. And it's, like, if you're getting ready to go out, like, or eat, like, it's just hype and great. So like, if you like that kind of music, I recommend listening to, and if you liked Money, recommend listening to LaKelli 47's album as well. My last thing to talk about on my end of music is breaking news today. Rina Sawayama did release her song introducing her new album called This Hell. Off of first listen, I wonder why this is the single. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Rina.
I listened. I'm not. Obviously, it's one listen. I listened once as well.
Yeah.
But like it. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe it's a grower.
Yeah, I definitely probably gonna be a grower. I just think it's also like Rina's so talented, and seeing, I'm like, when you have hard hitters like XS, like, you know, Lucid is your last single, like, you expect it. I respect a shift, but sometimes people just kind of miss when they pick their lead singles. We've seen it happen to so many artists. So
people are artists are terrible at picking. Like they need to be told.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It's not a bad song. I'll need to listen to it more. I've truly only listened to it like once or twice all the way through. But off my first listen, I was like, ugh. Especially like with the promo, like Rina's going to hell. Like, I just wanted a little more.
Yeah.
But obviously excited for the album, and we'll still listen. Those were my musical updates.
I love it. I mean, I'm mostly just listening to Florence. The Five Sauce song
is really fucking good.
Really good. We talked about that. Still listening to Sigrid.
Yes.
And preparing my body for the new Harry Styles album, which on Friday.
Feels insane that we're getting
he
that.
He was on Howard Stern today and played a few songs, actually. So there's snippets out there now of, like, Cinema, which is apparently about Olivia Wilde, and Daylight as well. So looking forward to having, like, whatever, like, 11 new Harry Styles songs to put in rotation and
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. We're going to be on Vera's deck on Friday, so I feel like that'll be fun to be outside and listen
vibes,
to that.
Vibes will be immaculate.
We will definitely give our full review next week, so stay tuned. But that is all she wrote for this week.
That's all she wrote.
Friends. Not much happened. Some big things happened to us.
We kind of ran the gambit a little bit.
Yeah, the big things happened to us. So in our world, things happened.
Yes,
I don't have the energy to speak about Kourtney Kardashian in her Dolce & Gabbana dress. Y'all know how I feel about it. Period. If you know how I feel about Dolce & Gabbana,
the Kardashians,
you know how I feel about that. Shame. That's all I have to say.
Also, it didn't look good.
No. Shame. Shame.
So, that's karma, bitch.
Literally. But that's really it. Thank you all for listening. We love you so
Thank
much.
You.
We appreciate you. We love you all. We love this podcast. Most importantly, we love each other.
Yes!
Love you, Megan.
Love you, Cheese.